Ramsey TV.
In Ephesians 5:25, there is nothing new. This was in the law of Moses, to love your associate as yourself. The only new thing here is the associate is your wife. And another new thing, I'll admit that, is that there's a latest, greatest example is Jesus Christ, because he has a body known as the ecclesia. And so Paul, the Holy Spirit snaps Paul. Paul gets this great idea suddenly. Wow, I'm going to make an analogy here. It's Christ loves his body. Therefore, a husband should love his wife. And then he goes on to say, love, to elaborate on what he means, the famous point of contact in the analogy, and what he means is that you love your own wives as your own body. So he harkens back to the law of Moses, to Leviticus. I'm going to quote that. Love your associate as yourself. This is just the latest, greatest example of it. This is Martin Zender from the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula's Saving Marriages from my kitchen here in Fort Lauderdale. Welcome to the show. I'm going to have to do another day on this. This is so important. I want to help people. I want husbands to keep from developing a Messiah complex, because this is what this teaching will give you, a Messiah complex. And it will actually tempt you to keep, and this is hard to say, but it will actually, well, because my colleague says that a man who has a good, cooperative, nice, kind wife is at a disadvantage. Actually true. I'm going to quote that today, if I can find it. I meant to look for it before the show, but maybe God will be kind to me, and I'll just happen to toggle tab over to it. But for now, I want to go to some specific parts in my newsletter, and I want to start with a section in Volume 4, Issue 3 of the ZWTF called It's Nothing New. It's Nothing New. This is what you need to know today. Now, I'm talking about a teaching of my friend Clyde Pilkington. He says this, I'm quoting now from my newsletter. My colleague, the author of the Daily Email Goodies, contends that the love that husbands owe their wives, this, if you're married, this applies to you. Pay attention closely. My colleague, the author of Daily Email Goodies, contends that the love that husbands owe wives, as set forth in Ephesians 5:25, is a new revelation. And I quote now from Clyde Pilkington. Under the Mosaic law, the husband was not to abuse or neglect his wife, and was to assure that her physical needs, food, clothing, and sex, Exodus 21:10, were adequately provided. Under the Pauline revelation, love is added as the husband's preeminent responsibility, not just any love. The new standard is the love of Christ. Beyond that, it is Christ's love for the ecclesia that is the model. Sacrificial love. This new Christ-like standard goes far beyond anything that the law ever could have imagined. Paul reveals a new pattern for marriage, Christ and the ecclesia. This new revelation greatly increases the responsibility of husbands. As believing wives are already members of the body of Christ, their role in marriage is unchanged from their, quote, natural role. This is me now. This is where the thing starts to warp, okay? This is where the wing starts coming off the fuselage. This is where the rivets start to vibrate, right here. As believing wives are already members of the body of Christ, and remember, yesterday, if you don't remember, go to yesterday's show. Remember, I told you that Clyde takes this analogy too far, and he's applying every point. He's listing every qualification of Jesus Christ and putting it under the heading of husbands, and he is taking every qualification of the ecclesia, which ain't so good. It ain't so good. Under the category, the topic, the heading of wives. And so this is where he gets, as believing wives are already members of the body of Christ, their role in marriage is unchanged from their natural role. However, the husband has been instilled with that which can only be divinely accomplished. Now, that's end of the quote. You may ask, what is the natural role of wives in marriage according to this new teaching? Which is not true, don't worry about it. But what is the natural role of wives? Well, I'm going to repeat something that I brought to you yesterday. This is under a section in my newsletter, ZWTF 4.7, Volume 4, Issue 7, under the subheading Unwitting Stereotype. At the Vancouver, Washington conference, this was in 2014, the fall thereof, my colleague laid out two columns on a whiteboard. This video is still on YouTube, unfortunately, labeling them Christ and the Ecclesia. Here's how it looked. He had Christ on the left side, and it was the Savior, the successor, that is the one who succeeds, the lover, the embracer, the steadfast, all great things. Under the Ecclesia, not too good here, he listed the sinner, the failure, the beneficiary, that is the one who sucks up all the blessing, the resistant, the inconsistent. Then my colleague pointed to the board and said concerning the respective roles of husbands and wives, and I quote now, it's a quote from the video, all you need to know, as he points to the board, all you need to know is who Christ is, and all you need to know is who the Ecclesia is. This is a picture of husbands and wives, end quote. This is a picture of husbands and wives. Ladies and gentlemen, my colleague, Clyde Pilkington, said earlier, as believing wives are already members of the body of Christ, their role in marriage is unchanged from their natural role. Their natural role. So when a woman gets married, apparently, now according to this teaching, everything stays the same. Nothing changes. Because her part of this analogy, which is overplayed by Clyde, is to be all these terrible negative things. Well, lucky her. She gets to be the body of Christ in the analogy. So she doesn't need to be anything but a sinner, a failure, a resistant, inconsistent, suck up all the goodness person. But however, the husband, oh boy, no, men, when you enter marriage now, it's all different for you, buddy boy, because this is Paul revealing a new pattern. In the new pattern, the believing wives are already members of the body of Christ, so their role in marriage is unchanged from their natural states, which I just read. However, the husband has been instilled with that which can only be divinely accomplished. And we better hope to hell that God divinely accomplishes it, or the husband is screwed. He'll never be able to do this. All he has to do is be the Savior, the successful one, the lover, the embracer, and steadfast. While his better half, which in this case is the pitiful half, just sits there and becomes more sinning, more failing, more resistant, more inconsistent than ever before, because this is the wife's natural role. In other words, husbands save, wives sin. Husbands succeed, wives fail. Husbands love, wives passively suck it up. Husbands embrace, wives push away. Husbands are steadfast, wives are all over the place. Addressing the wives in the audience, my colleague then said, quote, it's on the video, wives, you just get to be who you already are, a part of the Ecclesia. You get to be yourself. You get to be yourself. You just get to stay a sinner and a failure. Lucky you. To the husbands, he said, quote, and we get to be the Savior. I watched a couple of wives in the audience, and I watched them tightening their jaws and fidgeting with their fingers. Well, who could blame them? I saw one husband doing the same thing, like, you know, tightening his jaw and clenching his fist, but for a completely different reason. Because in one fell swoop, my colleague had unwittingly accomplished what I am positive would be the last thing he would ever want to accomplish. He stereotyped and demeaned women. In other words, no one should expect women to become anything but what they are, that is, resistant, inconsistent failures. And he set for men a Herculean task, not given them by God. When this talk was over at this conference, I didn't speak to any of the people that were there that day specifically, but I have to imagine that both wives and husbands left that meeting feeling like failures. Everybody felt like a failure after this talk. The wives as passive failures, they're just failures by default because they don't have to change. They can be whatever God made them. And the husbands were failing as God's supposed call to empty themselves completely, surrender their lives in totality, and become small as saviors. That's what Christ did. Didn't he surrender himself completely and totally? In fact, in volume 4, issue 3 of my ZWTF, which I am posting these again today, I hope you look at them. Clyde writes an article, and he's writing a commentary on Ephesians 5. And he's taking this, husbands are to be loving their wives according as Christ also loves the ecclesia and gives himself up for its sake. He's taking the give themselves up, again, as a complete parallel of what husbands have to do. And the most disturbing installment in the series, this was part of a series Clyde was writing, is one he called the scriptural usage of give. Here are some of the definitions of the word give, given by Clyde from various dictionaries and lexicons. It's not the definitions that disturb me, but rather the loosely worded statements made by Clyde based on the definitions. Here's a sampling of the definitions for the word give. To surrender, that is, yield up. This is what supposedly God is asking of husbands. When a husband enters marriage, he has to change completely. Now he has to surrender, yield, and give up. To give over or hand over to another. To give over into one's power or use. To deliver over or up to the power of someone. To deliver yourself up to the power of another person. To give up, give over, give away. In this article, Clyde then gives 4 examples from Scripture of this word in use. Matthew 4:12, cast into prison, that is, given up into prison. Matthew 5:25, delivered to the judge, that is, giving you up. Matthew 10:4, betrayal, they give Christ up. Acts 15:26, those some men hazarded their lives, that is, gave up their souls. He followed with this statement. These words speak of sacrifice and loss of liberty. Husbands are no longer their own. It's all over for you husbands when you get married according to this program. This is a quote. These words speak of sacrifice and loss of liberty. Husbands are no longer their own. Like Christ, by choice, they have sacrificially given themselves up as an approach present to their wives, unquote. They give themselves up, that they're cast into prison, delivered to the judge. Yield themselves up completely. This is what Christ did for the ecclesia, but this is not what men are supposed to do to their wives, for their wives. There is an equality in marriage that is being overlooked here. And the equality begins with the fact that husbands are equally as stubborn, equally as resistant, equally as failing, as sinning, as resistant, as inconsistent. And I know many wives who are the ones who, again, pull their husbands along in the faith. In an earlier installment of the same series, the installment was called The Husband's Role in Love, my colleague writes concerning his conception of love based on his conception of Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives, unreserved love. His love for us was without limit, without condition, without reservation. He not merely gave, he gave himself. But I contend to you, ladies and gentlemen, that this is the love that each owes the other. Wives owe their husbands the same kind of love as husbands owe their wives. And there's another mistake made here, which I'm going to read now, that is a mistake that I myself used to make. I regret it, but again, I didn't broadcast it, thank God. I have no doubt that my colleague in no way intended that all women were failures and that all men were successes. I think he meant to say that before entering matrimony, both men and women are all the things on the right side of the chart. After matrimony, however, God expects only one of the parties, the husband, to rise above mere body of Christ status and standards and somehow pierce a veil into a transcendently new self. But the wives, on the other hand, they get to stay the same. That's what he said. It's probably even desirable for them to remain as they are, that is, resistant, inconsistent failures, so that they can fulfill their natural role in the savior-sinner arrangement. If this is a savior-sinner arrangement, and the husband is the sinner, and the wife is the sinner, and the husband is the savior, then it behooves the wife to remain a sinner so that the husband can continue being super Christ. Otherwise, who would husbands have to save? How else could husbands suffer as Christ suffered? So apparently, I do for a woman. When a woman goes to the altar and says, I do, it means nothing more for her than the usual rut of sin, failure, resistance, and inconsistency. After all, she's a woman. And she would be the most likely to remain camped on the bad side of the savior-sinner, steadfast, inconsistent dynamic. What about the man? Well, hang on to your testicles if you still have them. What does I do mean for a man under this construct? A man goes to the altar, he says, I do. What does it mean for him? Well, simply this. While the wife continues to be herself, the husband must now transcend the common human experience to become something other than himself. Wives, quote, get to be who they already are, unquote. While husbands must now become a different thing altogether. Wives get to remain, quote, a part of the ecclesia, unquote. Husbands, who probably once imagined that membership in Christ's body was hardship, suffering, and sacrifice enough, forget it. That was the easy days. That was the good old days. You will look back, husbands, on the wonderful days when the only hardship you had was simply being a member of Christ's body and, you know, going through the usual hardship, suffering, and sacrifice that belongs to being a member of Christ's body. Oh, but no, now you enter in to a transcendent realm where these three difficulties, that is, hardship, suffering, and sacrifice, are taken to the next level. Yes, wives get to be themselves. Husbands, that common human luxury, that is, of being yourself, is over. From the wedding ceremony on, little do men realize that the altar is really a cross. Husbands are expected by God to become like Jesus on the stake of death. Oh, here's the quote I was talking about earlier from the video, quote, I wrote this down verbatim. Those who have wives who are easygoing and easy to be husbands to are at a disadvantage. This is a quote. I'll say it again. Those who have wives who are easygoing and easy to be husbands to are at a disadvantage. So then what would inspire a husband who thinks God is calling him to be this Messiah, what would inspire him to want his wife to become any better? Because he's advantaged to have a pain in the ass wife who is all these things. What really should happen, if this is true, if a husband is all these things and a wife is all these things, if a wife is all those terrible things listed as a member of the body of Christ and going by this false analogy, anyone who had those characteristics should be told to shape up, like get your shit together. That's what I would say to a person who had all those problems. I would help them get their shit together. But look, we have to fix this problem. you being inconsistent and resistant and this and that and that. Can we work on this? This is not good. But in this scenario, you would not be serving yourself to improve your wife, because according to this, those who have wives who are easygoing and easy to be husbands to are at a disadvantage. So if a wife is cooperative and happy and supportive, then that takes away the husband's ability to be this Messiah, to hang on the cross, to give everything, every last drop of blood to this woman, which is actually the exact opposite of what happened in the Garden of Eden. I have to say this, the exact opposite of what God says marriage is. It's actually the wife who's the helper of the husband. That's the way it was in the Garden of Eden. That was the original setup. That's the prototype. Told Adam to tend the garden. Adam tended the garden. He was all alone. He put Adam to sleep one day, took the womb out of him, built a woman, and he said, this is your helper. This is your helper because you can't do this very good. Wait till you see what I wired this creature to do. And so she comes and she's a helper. That's what she's called in the scripture. She helps him. She helps him. So this is very unhealthy, what is being called on here by Clyde, by misusing this analogy. Very unhealthy, especially with this quote. It looks like tomorrow I'm going to have to get to this love issue that was... My colleague said that wives are never told to love in the scripture, and there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. Wives don't need to do anything at all. Husbands have to do everything. You get that? Wives do nothing. Husbands do everything. That's the ideal here. According to my colleague, the ideal is that wives do nothing. Nothing. Husbands do everything. Husbands are messiahs. Husbands are saviors. Wives are loser, sinner, inconsistent people, and they don't need to change. They're not challenged to change. And the husband really, if he's a good husband and wants to be the Messiah, doesn't want her to change because it removes his advantage of being a Messiah. This is so wrong, and it's really naive. This is why, because what is created here is what is called a codependent loop. The codependent loop, and this is very unhealthy, it's actually an enablement. The husband who actually tries to do this, what he ends up doing, he enables his wife to keep being these bad things, right? The wife is encouraged, in a way, to keep being a rat fink so that he can keep being wonderful. And actually, him being wonderful feeds his end of this codependency. Like, he doesn't feel like he has any worth unless he's a super husband, because this is his role. This is what God gave him. This is the new revelation of Ephesians. But he can't be in this super role unless the wife is all these terrible things. And so giving her everything. Let's say that the wife is a jealous person, and she just needs all the husband's attention, and she just sucks him dry. She says, I don't want you going out. I don't want you watching television and seeing moving pictures of pretty women. I don't want you going out because it's too risky. Your head might be turned. I want you to stay here. According to this dynamic, then, the husband must meet this need. The husband must give everything up and put himself into captivity to this wife's need. And it is the same, giving this kind of thing, giving in this kind of way to a wife who is so needy like that, and that's in the codependent relationship. One person is giving, the other person is taking. Both parts of it are unhealthy. That's why I call it the codependent loop, because neither person is healthy in that. Neither person in this dynamic is self-sustaining. That is, they have no inner self-worth. The husband's self-worth depends on his wife being a loser so that he can be a savior. And the wife's self-worth depends on having her husband do everything for her. It's not healthy. The wife should be built up, told to get her shit together if this is the case. But many times it's the other way around. As I explained yesterday, this is not men are husbands are this, wives are this. No, it's not that at all. Both both people are told to love one another. Well, the wives aren't told because they already do it by default. I'm going to get to that tomorrow. But this is an unhealthy loop, and it's naive to think that this will work. And as I said yesterday, anybody who teaches that marriage is extremely difficult, you remember that from yesterday? That marriage by default is the hardest work you will ever do. It is difficult beyond compare and all those things. Anyone who says that is basically admitting that their marriage is difficult as hell. I mean, that's the tacit admission, is it not? That's their experience. That's what I would say. Because if somebody has a good marriage, they would say, oh man, marriage is makes life easier. And that's the way it should be. I should go to the Garden of Eden and read the passage. But marriage is meant to make life easier for the husband. Easier for the husband. This is so totally upside down, backwards, reversed. It's supposed to make life easier for the husband. It's supposed to like, I had this beautiful creature here helping me with my work. This is fantastic. And I get to have sex with her. Woo! I love marriage. Hey, everybody, marriage is the finest, easiest thing you'll ever do. Your life was difficult. Your life is tragic. Oh, get married because it'll make everything better. That is a healthy outlook on marriage. And you would, if a person would exhort you to do that, what would you say of that person? Oh, that person's got a happy marriage. That person's really doing well. If you have a person telling you marriage is the hardest work you'll ever do, it's the most difficult thing you will ever do in your life, the most austere, heavy responsibility you'll ever take on yourself, as my colleague says, wouldn't you tend to think that, wow, that person must be struggling every day in a marriage? That's what I would think. I mean, that's just natural to think that. So marriage is supposed to be easy. So the thing is, yes, and there are natural marriages. Of course there are. It's not supposed to be work. Jesus Christ, if it's work, then something's screwy. It's supposed to run like a well-oiled machine, you see, with two healthy people. Yes, you should enter marriage healthy already. Marriage is two healthy people, not two empty people needing each other to fulfill each other's vacancies because they weren't loved or something as a child. And so the person who enables a weak person to stay weak is not doing that weak person any favors. If the husband in the scenario I just laid out, if he acquiesces to all his wife's demands to not watch television, not go out, not get a job, it's just feeding her insecurities. It's like feeding a monster. You're never gonna satisfy it. You might as well be giving alcohol to an alcoholic. But what do you do to an alcoholic? You take away their frickin' drug. What do you do to a person who's jealous all the time? You protect your borders and you say, no, I will watch television. I will go out. I will have my friends. Boom, boom, boom. We have to fix you because you got a problem. You got a problem, lady. That's what you have to say. That's mature. That's love. It's tough love. It's not this sacrificial give everything love. Yes, there is a place for sacrifice, of course, but it's not exclusive to husbands because Paul is not comparing husbands to Christ here, and he's not comparing wives to the ecclesia. It's a false analogy. The only part of the analogy that's true is that Jesus Christ becomes the latest, greatest example of someone who loves his body. He loves his body, right? And then Paul talks about Christ, how he loved the body. He gave himself up. He did this. He did this. He suffered. He was nailed to the cross. He was whipped. Paul doesn't go into that much detail, but Paul's talking about Christ there. He's telling how Christ loved the body. It's not an instruction to husbands. It's an example of how someone, Jesus Christ, loves his body. And in this case, the body is the wife, but that's as far as the analogy goes. It's an example of how a husband is to treat a wife, that is, as his own body. This is an extension of what was already taught in the law of Moses. And so when you take this analogy, again, beyond what the Holy Spirit of God meant it to be, then you get this monstrous this is what a husband is. This is what a wife is. And the wife doesn't need to do anything, and the husband has to do everything. Are you kidding me? The husband has to do everything, and the wife doesn't have to do anything. That is the teaching here. Do you understand that? The husband has to do everything. The wife has to do nothing. The wife doesn't need to change. In fact, it's better if she doesn't, because then the husband can fulfill his role as this super savior, this Superman, who indulges basically a Messiah complex. And it's a disadvantage to him, again, if his wife changes. This is terrible, terrible. Because what is supposed to happen is both parties are supposed to grow in Christ together. Sometimes, again, it's the man who's weak and who's feeble, and it's the woman who's strong in the faith, and she builds up the man. We're supposed to build each other up, not feed some sick codependent loop where one person has a Messiah complex and one person needs their love tank filled unnaturally. So, yeah, this is really bad. I'm sorry to say. I had to elaborate a little bit on it today because I didn't tell you yesterday just how unhealthy it was. And I'm going to have to do another day of this because I definitely want to get to the love aspect of this. To say that only the husbands need to love, and I once fell for this because it doesn't say in Scripture that wives love your husbands. There's a reason for that. I'll give you a hint. It's because they already do it by default. It's husbands who tend to be joiks sometimes, who needs to be told, love your wives as you love your own body. It's such a simple thing. Can't you understand this? Wives don't need to be told that because they already do it. They're already loving and empathetic and kind. They have large hearts and they naturally, they don't need to be told, wives, love your husbands. That's all they dream about when they're little girls, is they want to have a nice house and they want to cook for their husbands, and they just dream, they draw hearts on their notebooks at school. In the meantime, this guy over here, he's drawing pictures of penises and breasts, and he just wants to have sex, and he's drawing pictures. That's what he wants. So he's husband, love your wife. Never says here that the wife has to love the husband. Never says. Therefore, she doesn't have to change at all. In fact, it's better if she doesn't. Keep her stupid. Keep her a sinner. Keep her recalcitrant. Keep her stubborn. Keep her failing. Keep her losing. Keep her rebelling. Because that just gives you more of an opportunity to be super husband. This is wrong.